Hey, y'all. Let's take a look at the end of Mark chapter 10. This is the sort of wraps up a major section in the central part of Mark. So Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the side of the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. There's so much going on in this section. At one level, it is just a simple historical episode in which Jesus touched the life of one man and changed it forever. It is that, but it is also all kinds of other things. First, remember that this episode wraps up a section, the central section of Mark, when Jesus traveled to the furthest north and then began a journey to Jerusalem to go to the cross. And that whole central section of being on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to death, is framed by the healing of two blind men. First, the blind man who was healed in two stages. Jesus did a few things, and then he said, "Oh, I see men like trees," and then he healed him again. And this moment, when Jesus heals a man at a word, why the difference between those two healings? Mark is framing this journey of Jesus to the cross with the story of two healings to comment on his own disciples. His own disciples are spiritually blind. They see who Jesus is, but they don't see the full picture of who Jesus is. And they can't see the full picture of who Jesus is until the cross opens their eyes and reveals the glory of God in the humility of Jesus. And so all along the way, Jesus says, "I'm going to die for the sins of the world." And the disciples are like, "Hey, we're going to grab whatever we can for ourselves," revealing that they're blind. They're following Jesus, but they don't really see him fully. So that's another major thing that's going on in this section is Mark is commenting on the blindness of the disciples and likewise commenting on our blindness as we follow Jesus and we avoid the implications of what it means to follow Jesus, the suffering, the letting go of our rights to serve others that goes on in all of that. A few other things that are going on in this section. This is the first time that Jesus is addressed by name by someone who seeks him out. So this Bartimaeus knew Jesus or knew of Jesus. He hears that he's from Nazareth. Maybe this man's from Nazareth. We just don't know, but at any rate, he knows about him, and Jesus allows him to call him by name. Notice, too, that he calls him the son of David. This makes it clear that this man understands the messianic promises. He knows the story in 1 and 2 Samuel. He knows how God came to David and promised that a descendant of David would inherit the throne. This was the belief that some descendant of David would come and be Israel's king and lead them fully into the kingdom. So this guy got that. So that's another interesting thing to note about him. Notice that he says, "Have pity." This is sort of a famous Christian prayer. "Son of David, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." A lot of times it's appended with "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner." But at any rate, it's clear that this guy knows that Jesus believes that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has great power, and that he himself needs pity. And so he is persistent. Notice the crowd tries to shut him up. And notice he has persistence. He's got like the persistence of the Syrophoenician woman. He's not going to be shut up. He is going to ask for mercy and not give up. This reminds me of many of the Psalms that have that tone of persistent, undaunted pleas before God. And so Jesus calls him over. He addresses him. And notice, this is the first time that somebody gets that Jesus is the Messiah and he doesn't tell them to be quiet, right? We are entering a new phase of Jesus' ministry. He is now going to be enthroned as the King of Israel, and he doesn't try to turn away public acclamation. That's another sign that the Gospel of Mark is turning a corner. I love this moment. It says, hey, take heart, he's calling you. And the man throws off his cloak, leaps up, and rushes to Jesus. This blind man rushes over. It's a beautiful picture of a person gladly laying behind their life as they know it to follow Jesus wherever he will lead them. It's kind of a beautiful antidote to the rich young ruler who went away sorrowing but holding on to what he had. This man is eager. He believes in Jesus, and he's willing to lay things aside and zealously follow him. And Jesus says, hey, take heart. I mean, he gives him his request. Your faith has saved you. That word save can mean save in every sense of the word. Like, it can mean if you're sick, you're made well. But it can also mean in the most ultimate sense, that your life reaches the destination for which God created it, rather than being separated from that destination. And so Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Go your way to your home. And what I love about this is it says that the man followed Jesus on the way. Again, this is not just he followed him on the road to Jerusalem, from Jericho to Jerusalem. This means he became his disciple. He's the only person that Jesus heals that is named in the Gospel of Mark. And so many people think that that indicates that this was a historic disciple that later was a part of the church there in Jerusalem, because we know his name. So may the Lord open our blinded eyes so that we can see the majesty and the glory of our King, who is the suffering servant who died for the sins of the world. May we leave aside all that hinders us from following him. And may we, by his grace, follow him on the way to the cross, knowing that on the other side of the cross lies resurrection. Amen.